Well, hey, everyone, and welcome to the Ridge YA podcast. This is a podcast from Ridge Church, all about what it looks like to follow Jesus in the midst of the season that we're living in as a young adult. I'm Dan. I'm the pastor of youth and young adults here, and we want to welcome you to today's episode. All right, we are here today with Tristan Claussen. He is the associate director at Quanos. We are so excited to have him here. I've only gotten to meet Tristan a few times in person before the world shut down. And since then, we have not been able to get together. But Tristan, welcome to the Ridge YA podcast.
Hey, thanks, Dan. It's great to be here with you this morning. And just looking forward to chatting with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So for those who wouldn't know you or maybe wouldn't be familiar with Camp Quanos, would you give us a bit of a breakdown, first of all, about who you are and maybe a little bit of your story, and then what Camp Quanos is all about as well?
Yeah, for sure. So first, who I am, primarily, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's what I try to do. That's where I take my and shape my identity from. And that's been a process for me. It's been a journey trying to follow Jesus, and I've had some highs and lows, but over the last number of years, I've been working at Camp Quanos here on Vancouver Island. Fellowship Baptist camp. We partnered with about 40 churches in Metro Vancouver and on Vancouver Island. And our mission is just to love kids to life, and we try to show them and tell them about the love of Jesus in every aspect of camp ministry. So whether that's, you know, summer camps or retreats, or whether they come with their school as a guest group or a youth group, we just try to show them the love of Jesus here at camp. And I love being able to participate in that and join in on that process.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's so cool. I loved getting to hear a little bit of your heart. My background is in camp ministry. I got saved at a camp. I worked at a camp. But getting to hear that, we went to Gratia, which is like the go-to coffee shop here in Maple Ridge, and had lunch together. But one of the things you brought up when we were chatting was so interesting to me for a camp guy to bring up, because camp's such a like 24/7 type of ministry, right? It's like you're there, you're all in. If anyone listening here has worked at camp, you know that kind of like the hustle and the go all day, every day of camp ministry. But you brought up this crazy topic that you kind of been wrestling through, this idea of Sabbath as this really foundational thing that had become really important in your life and your family's life. So I want to go there and chat a little bit about that. How do you kind of discover Sabbath as a rhythm and practice when you're in sort of a ministry in a space that it seems like potentially the first this thing from the front of mind?
Yeah, hey, that's a great question. I guess I never really understood Sabbath. Like, I grew up going to church, and I didn't really understand the whole concept of it. I mean, I knew it was in the Bible, and it was part of the Ten Commandments, but I didn't really know how that applied to us today, and whether that was just, you know, one of the old laws or something that we should continue practicing. So I would say I was curious about it, but I really didn't take much time to learn or to think about it further than that. And I guess it was probably last year, right around this time, actually in February, I have this problem. Maybe some other of your listeners have this problem. I try to be like as productive as I can with the time that I'm given. And so if I have like, you know, a 6-hour window, I try to make sure that each of those hours are productive and useful. And I remember I was on a work trip last February. I had to fly into Winnipeg to do some stuff for the camp and to connect with some people and participate in this conference. And it was, I think, a Friday to a Monday. And I just packed, jam-packed every day from morning till evening to try to make the most out of it. And I got back here to Vancouver Island after the trip, and then I was right back into work. And I thought, that shouldn't be the way that it is. Like, I was tired and I was exhausted. And I wasn't sure exactly what to do with that. And it was around this time, one of my friends, Corey, he was telling me about this book that he had just finished reading called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. And I was intrigued by the title, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And so I picked it up and I read through it. I maybe took 3 or 4, maybe 5 days to read through it. Right. And I was captivated, actually. I was captivated by this idea that hurry is our greatest enemy from knowing God. It's the greatest challenge or obstacle that we have from having a meaningful and intimate relationship with Jesus. And so anyways, Zomar Comer, the book gives four different practices or disciplines or habits, whatever you want to call them, to ruthlessly eliminate hurry in our lives. And the second practice he went through was Sabbath. And it was really intriguing to me because Sabbath at that point was something that I could see myself trying to practice, like trying to implement right away. Sure. And the way that he described it was just really interesting to me.
That's really cool. I think you mentioned productivity and you mentioned like a high value of productivity. Can you maybe go in on that a little bit and maybe speak to why you think productivity kind of lands as this high value? Do you think that's a cultural thing? Do you think that's a personality thing? Like what makes, because productivity is kind of a buzzword right now, it feels like to me, especially as we're working from home and figuring out things from home, we're doing school from home. It's like, how do you get more productivity? How do you be more productive? How do you get more motivated? Those kind of things. Where do you think that comes from? And why do you think that, as you said, hurry or that kind of thing can actually be an enemy to our spiritual life?
Yeah, I think if you look back about 100 years, it was the less you worked, the more status you had in society. So the more you could chill and laze around and just kind of be, people thought you're very valuable. And nowadays, it's almost the opposite. It's like the busier you are or the fuller your calendar is or the more appointments or contacts you have, the higher people view you in society. They think, you must be very important. Right. And so we almost build ourselves up to this idea of being productive and to use every ounce of our energy through the day to try to sort of arrive at some destination that we haven't quite figured out. And what happens is we get to the end of our day or the end of our week and we feel like, what did I do? And and was this a good use of my time? And I don't really know what tomorrow is going to bring. Isn't that what COVID has shown us?
Right.
So just operating out of this like idea of we work from a place of rest rather than rest from a place of work was just a really captivating thought to me.
Can you speak work from a place of rest, not rest from a place of work? What does that mean?
Yeah. So I think our whole lives are built around cycles, aren't they? Like if you think of a cycle of your normal day, you know, you wake up and then you eat breakfast and lunch and go to work and dinner and then you come home in the evening and then you have your work week cycle and your weekend cycle and then you got your seasons, your summer and spring and fall and winter. And, like there's all these cycles or rhythms to life. I live right by the ocean here on the island and I see the tide going in and out, you know, a couple times a day. And if we look back into the book of Genesis, right at the beginning, God, he set out this cycle or this rhythm of life that we are to follow. And it was like a 6-day work week and a 1-day rest. And I think we have an opportunity right now in this cultural moment that we're in to learn what it looks like to be able to work from a place of rest. And I know since I've started practicing Sabbath, my work has been far more productive than when I wasn't practicing Sabbath. It's almost like I have more energy or more ideas or fresh insight because I'm able to work from a spirit of restfulness.
That's really challenging because it feels counterintuitive to say to take a full 24 hour off and maybe like, can we go there a little bit practically? Like what does Sabbath look like? Cause I mean, you know, Old Testament, you read, there's these laws around Sabbath and what does it look like in that kind of thing? And it feels like a pretty old school word to use. If somebody texts me and says, what are you up to this weekend? I can't remember the last time I've said like, oh, I'm Sabbathing. Leave me alone. What does it practically look like, do you think, to Sabbath in 2021?
Yeah, it's, you know what, it's hard to define because I think it's actually going to be a little bit different for each of us, right? Like if I talk to some of my friends who are, newly married and it's just the two of them, their spouse and then like their lives don't have the same sort of element that somebody who's maybe in their mid-30s and is driving kids right. around every which way and, you know, trying to work their yeah. job and their spouse is working. And that's actually even going to be different than somebody who's a grandparent or somebody who's a senior citizen that's, mm-hmm. that's you know, maybe alone right now. So mm-hmm. I think Sabbath, the concept of Sabbath is actually, it looks a little bit different for anyone. Or for everyone, but the way that we've sort of framed it in our household is under two words. It's whatever brings you rest and delight. Mm-hmm. If something brings you rest and delight, Sabbath is your opportunity or your invitation to participate in those things.
Sure.
And we see in the Bible, you know, all the rules around Sabbath, and we see, you know, the mm-hmm. Pharisees and the religious leaders in Jesus' day trying to make a whole bunch of, like, qualifications for Sabbath. And then Jesus says something really interesting to them in the Gospel of Mark. He says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So right. We just kind of frame it in our household as whatever brings you rest and whatever brings you delight on the Sabbath, that's sort of our structure or our framework for doing it.
That's cool. How do you find what brings you rest? Because I think one of the things that I think COVID has shown me, particularly maybe back in March, April, May of last year, is that I can do things that maybe would be painted with a banner of rest, but don't make me feel restful. So like I can binge a whole season of, you know, Tiger King or whatever and not feel very well rested at the end of it. So do you have a filter or what kind of things do you put into when you're looking at an activity or something or whatever it may be? How do you kind of define something as restful or not?
Yeah. So there's two parts of Sabbath. So rest and delight is one part. And then the second part is this active resistance. So resisting the culture around us. And so if we'll just back up a little bit to where Sabbath began, like Sabbath obviously began in creation, but then there was no real mention of it until Exodus chapter 16, I think, when the Israelites had just been freed from 400 years of slavery. Yep. And they were picking up manna in the wilderness, and Moses said, today you're going to pick up twice as much. You're going to pick up some for today and tomorrow. And they didn't understand that concept. They'd been slaves for their whole lives, 400 years, their generations of slaves. And now they're going to get this day of rest or this day to rest and delight. Now, so that was one part of it. But the other part of it was also to reject the culture which they were part of. They were part of a culture of slavery. They came from Egypt, which was a harsh culture, a culture of no, there was no opportunity for them to rest. It was just work, work, work. Sure. And if I fast forward now to our day and age in the 21st century, I think we're similarly in that culture of work, 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 but we're also in this culture of consumerism. And so consumerism is the other thing that we try to battle against with Sabbath. So what that looks like for me, if you think of what brings you rest and delight, it's enjoying the things that God has given you. So whatever those things are, if you love painting or if you love to hike or if you love to play music or whatever those things are, participate in them, but also reject the things that you would do with the rest of your week. So for me, one of them is spending time on my phone. So my phone is, you know, one of the biggest distractions I have in my life. Another distraction I have is, you know, watching TV or consuming, you know, series. So what I try to do on Sabbath is just reject the culture around us and do something different with one day a week that revolves around rest and delight. So maybe I hope that helps you sort of understand the framework of it. But because I know some people can say, I find a lot of rest in watching, you know, the whole series of Tiger King.
Right.
But I think you can do that throughout your week, you know, in the evenings or whatever you have. But you have this one day to treat differently. And that's what we try to do here when we practice Sabbath.
Yeah. No, I love the dichotomy of like resting by choosing to do things that bring life and rejecting things that actually don't. So you mentioned your phone. Do you go without your phone on your Sabbath?
Yeah. So what I've found is in my phone is a whole bunch of opportunities to distract my life. And so whether that's social media or whether that's the 24-hour news cycle or text messages or emails, whatever it is, I find it's a real distraction for me. So with my job, and this is where it looks different for everyone. With my job, I have a little bit of an obligation to be available, you know, if there's an emergency or something. So what I try to do personally is I keep my phone upstairs away from me for the day, and I'll check it maybe 2 or 3 times a day. I'll just go in there, I'll check to see if there's anything important that I like needs to get dealt with. And if it does, then I'll deal with it. But if not, if it can wait till the end of the day, then I'll just do that. So that's personally how I practice it. But I know people who like shut their phone off, put it in a drawer, leave it there. They don't need anybody to get a hold of them. And I love that idea. I'm just not quite there at this stage in my life.
That's fair. Yeah, because it seems almost like crazy, right? Like I panic when I like stand up from my desk or my couch and like tap my pocket and my phone's not there. So the idea of like a 24-hour period without it, you know, this extension of my right arm is pretty crazy, but pretty profound as well. One of the questions I wanted to ask around this that I think particularly right now is that with things like work and school and all those kind of things moving online, like we're in the age of the internet, we're in the age of Zoom, we're in the age of like all these things, how can you practice? Like it almost seems easier to me to go, you know, I'm going to close my computer and go home. But if all my work is on my computer at home already, how do you draw that line? And how do you decide, like, what's the way you go, okay, here's where I stop. Here's where, and how do you not kind of allow it to bleed into or bleed out of a Sabbath practice?
Yeah. The interesting thing about practicing Sabbath, one of the things I've learned is as you practice it, you actually live the other 6 days differently. And that's sort of what I alluded to earlier when you work from a place of rest, like you work from this spirit of restfulness. Now, there's an interesting study in the book that John Mark Comer puts out. And he says your peak production in your work week is at about 55 hours. That's like the highest amount of production you can get in a 6-day work week. And that works out to about 9 hours or so a day. And anything after 55 hours, your production doesn't change at all until about 70 hours. And then after 70 hours of work in a week, you can get a little bit more production. But it's interesting how this sort of peak number, 55 hours, that's our highest productivity we can get in a week. So if you think to yourself, okay, I'm going to wake up super early and start working on my laptop or going to school and then dealing with this and, you know, connecting with that person and making sure I get this done. And then I'll go to work and then I'll do the same thing when I get home. Like you're actually going to end up burning yourself out. And we've seen and heard stories of people who are just, you know, they're tired and they're exhausted and they're not fun to be around, right? Like they're the people who are always stressed and always distracted when you're trying to talk to them. Right. But when we can learn how to put healthy boundaries around things and realize that we're not machines, we're actually human beings, we can really start to enjoy the fruit of what Sabbath is supposed to look like.
Right. No, that's so good. What would you say to someone who'd say to you, okay, that's a cool ideal, but I'm a student. So like there's things in my week where if I have a paper, I just have to do it. Or if I have this going on, I just have to make it work. Or if this gets asked of me, I need to make it work. How do you fit Sabbath in when, especially right now, so much of like our traditional, like I work Monday to Friday, I have Saturday off, on Sunday I go to church, right? Like all that's changed now. And so we're like wondering what does it look like to kind of carve that out, even in a season where things feel very kind of flexible or constantly changing, like you mentioned?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting how in that very first mention of Sabbath in the Bible to the Israelites, Moses told them, don't pick up food for tomorrow. Just pick up enough or pick up food for today and tomorrow, but don't don't keep any leftovers any other day.
Sure.
And so what people did was at first they thought we're going to gather as much as we can and have leftovers for the next day. Mm-hmm. And it was full of worms and maggots and it stank.
Right.
And it was an exercise of trust, actually. God was teaching them how to trust him. And I think right now Sabbath is exactly that same concept. It's an exercise of trusting in God and saying that I can't do everything on my own. I'm going to give one day to you, God. I'm going to give one period of time to you, and I'm going to rest in delight, and I'm going to trust that you're good and that the rest of my life is going to work out. Now, that people might use that as an excuse to say, oh, I can't get my homework done because I've got Sabbath, you know, today or whatever. But actually, if we use our time well, we can get a lot done in 6 days a week, and we can really look forward to a day to refill or restore our souls. So I think, yeah, Sabbath is an exercise of trust, and it's part of our Christian journey of growing to trust God and realizing we are not God. We can't do everything on our own, and it's just an opportunity to enter into that and to grow in our relationship with Him.
Yeah, that's good. I liked what you hit on for a sec there, just this idea that, like, Sabbath is an anti-work. Like, it actually promotes the idea of work that's worth doing over that course of, you know, those other 6 days are lived differently. It's not this idea of, like you said, the old idol, you know, it might be productivity now, but the old idol was do nothing. Like, get to the point where you don't have to do anything, where you don't have to work, where you don't have to whatever it may be. And, like, that's not what Sabbath is either. And so it's almost like that pendulum swings either way of our idols. And so it's like the glorification of rest or the glorification of work. Neither is healthy. It's understanding them both in the context of each other. That's really good. Yeah. How do you think you say no to things? Because I think our lives get busy. We get requests, whether it's a call for a shift or someone calls and wants to meet up or someone calls and wants to do something or someone calls and needs a hand with something. How do you say no to things? Like, if I can't think of an example, but like, how do you say no to something for the sake of a Sabbath without coming across like a total jerk?
Yeah, that's a good question. Just put your phone away and then you don't have to say no.
Put it in the drawer, lock it up.
No, you know what? Honestly, it's a big struggle for me. And I think it's a big struggle for many people, right? Because we want to do things in the name of good or, you know, in the name of service or whatever it is. So it is a struggle for me. The way that I try to frame it is that if I tell somebody that, hey, I'd love to do this thing, but actually I just need to take one day off a week. Like, I'm happy to do it any of the other six. If I could just have like one day off, most people are like, yeah, of course you can. Like, that makes sense. That totally makes sense.
Right.
Now, I'm not legalistic about it to the point where, like, if you called me up, Dan, on my Sabbath and said, hey, do you want to go for a coffee? I would say, sorry, I don't have time. You know, this is my Sabbath. Right. If it's something that brings me joy or rest or delight, yeah, let's do it. If it's something that feels like work, like I have to be here at this certain time or I have to get this certain thing done. I'll give you an example. We're trying to sell our van a little while ago and I try not to like do any shopping or any online stuff on my Sabbath. I'm not perfect, right? But this lady texted me on our Sabbath day and she's like, hey, can we come see it? And I was like, oh, here's a great opportunity. Sure. Yeah, come on down. And we had a plan to go on a hike that afternoon with our kids. And I said, okay, guys, somebody's just coming to look at the van and then we'll go on our hike after. Well, wouldn't you know it, that lady said, okay, I'll be there in an hour. Oh, and then an hour goes by and I'll be there. Give me another 45 minutes and I'll be there. And then 45 minutes goes by. And all of a sudden it was like we were just sitting and waiting for somebody when we could have been enjoying a beautiful hike in the midst of God's creation. And so there are times where it's good just to say no or just to ignore that text message or that email or that phone call and then just get back to them later. Sabbath can be practiced different ways, but usually what we do in our house is we'll start on Saturday night. We'll start with a nice dinner, and then we'll go till Sunday night. So basically, if anybody needs to get a hold of me between Saturday night dinner and Sunday night dinner, I can get back to them like at Sunday after dinner and try to sort out whatever issue needed to be sorted out at that point. But so anyways, it's not to be legalistic about it, but it's also okay just to say, hey, I just need a little bit of time off to sort of regroup and then I'll be good to go for the rest of the week. I think most people would understand that concept.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's interesting too, because it's like those things do keep coming up, right? There's always opportunities to do more, or buy more, or sell more, or get a little bit more done, or that kind of thing. One of the things that my wife and I have found really helpful is I'll take every work app off my phone, because I'll do the same thing where I'll check it. But if I have a notification from Slack or Gmail or anything like that, it's like I'm not yet mature enough in my followership of Jesus not to read the email. And so I have to take all those apps off my phone for that period. But it's been really helpful, because when it's not there, I don't look. And so, no, that is really, really good, man.
I love that idea, Dan, just like to see what's working in your life and then to say, hey, this thing isn't working. So let's just get rid of it so that it doesn't become a distraction or it doesn't become consuming. And I think that's a really good thing for people to consider as well. For me, it was taking my social media apps. I'm basically just on Instagram and Facebook, and it's moving them to the very last page of my iPhone. So I got to scroll through all the apps. So it's like this, it's not on my front page. Like, I just grab it and open it right away. So I gotta like think about it and get there. And like, by the time I get there, I'm like, do I really want to like waste my time right now scrolling through somebody's, you know, story or whatever?
Right.
Sometimes I do, but other times it's like, nah, it's not worth it by the time I get there.
Yeah, no, it's such an interesting thing. It's, I can't remember the book, but I read about this concept where it's like, if you want to watch less TV, make it harder to do that thing. And so, you know, his concept was super simple, is take the batteries out of your remote, put one battery in one room, one battery in the other room, and the remote somewhere else. And so before you go to do the thing, you actually have to think about like, is it worth it for me? Because when I can't just like sit on my couch and press one button, it actually becomes a question. So I think, even just like looking at all the things we do on a day off, because it's so quick, right? Like, I can open my phone to check a text message, and 45 minutes later, I've watched every story and seen every post on Instagram. Man, that's so, so good. For you've obviously done it in the context of being married and having kids and those kind of things. But what did you find helpful to kind of discover the rest and the delight? What was kind of the exploration of things that you found, this lands in this category, this lands in this category, this is what I want to resist, those kind of things? How do you start to discover those things when I think culturally, sometimes it's so much of like, oh, just watch Netflix, just look at your phone, that's what rest is, just whatever. How do you find what actually brings rest?
Yeah, that's a great question too. I think each of us is wired differently. We each have like certain bends or things that we love to do and things that bring us joy. And, you know, you can think back to times in your life, like, when was I really happy? When was I really filled with joy? And for me, it's not too hard to think about, because it's basically whenever I'm doing something outdoors, like whether I'm, you know, going for a walk with a friend or going downhill mountain biking or snowboarding or just anything where I can be outside enjoying fresh air, getting a bit of exercise, that brings me great joy. Now, I know other people who, like, the happiest times in their life are when they're sitting on the couch wrapped in a blanket, reading a book and drinking a cup of tea. And that is like, that is their jam, and they love it. So I think to start to explore it, you should just ask yourself, like, what are those things in my life that I just find like so fulfilling and so rewarding? And that might be coffee with a friend, or it might be, you know, going to play ping pong with your buddy's house. Whatever that thing is, I think Sabbath is an invitation to participate in that and just fill your soul back up.
That's so good. That is really good. One other thing I wanted to touch on, and it's not Sabbath, but I think it's related. Do you think it's possible to have a rhythm of rest daily, or is it something where it's just like, no, I just gotta like hustle all week, and then I'll get to Sabbath and I'll shut everything down for a day, and then I'll be okay to keep going? Like, you talked a little bit about working out of a place of rest, but what does it look like to build that into a daily rhythm, if that makes sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I think when you start practicing Sabbath, you do end up living the other 6 days of your life differently, or the days of your week differently.
Right.
So I think for me, what's happened is I've started to enjoy this rhythm of rest. And just personally, what I like to do is I like to get up early. I'm a morning person, and I have no problem getting up early. But I like to get up early when the house is quiet and pour myself a cup of coffee and just spend that first 45 minutes or hour of the day journaling. I like to journal and reading the Bible. And so what that does for me is it allows me to start my day out of a period of, or a spirit of peace, rather than I wake up late and I got to rush out the door and get to this thing and my phone's buzzing. And that when I do that, I know I right away feel off balance. Hmm. So one thing I've started doing, and if any of your listeners, you know, want to tip, is I don't actually open my phone until I'm done that quiet time in the morning, that time where I just have to rest and just slowly sort of wake up and allow my soul to catch up to my mind.
Yep.
And so I do think a daily rhythm of rest is very important. And whether you do that in the morning or at lunch or in the evening, it's really essential that we spend that time with God so that we can learn to operate out of a spirit of restfulness and peace.
Yeah, and like you said, like it can be kind of any time in the day, but what matters is that there is that space. Like, you know, you mentioned the morning, which makes sense. If someone's not a morning person, I'm a huge morning person, so I'm probably similar in terms of that. But even, you know, during a lunch hour, right? Like for a season, I went through a practice, less so now because it's cold here this week when we're recording this, but like where every lunch hour I'd go for a 50-minute walk and just kind of walk, not with headphones in, not checking email, not listen to a podcast, like just walking around the kind of neighborhood around Maple Ridge where we live and just resting for that 15 minutes in the middle of the day. And so it can be a morning, it can be a lunch, it can be an evening, right? Like, you know, recently I've heard this concept of like put your phone to bed. The same way you would with kids, and we don't have kids. So I'm like, all right, what does that mean? But like to put my phone to bed at a certain time and have that space where it's like, oh, I could read a book. I could sit down. I could make tea. We could play Scrabble, like whatever it might be. You can kind of have that built in, to the rhythms of your day. No, that's really, really good.
Yeah. I think it's really important to do that, Dan. And I love your idea of doing it at lunchtime if you're not really a morning person, but like just carving out intentional time where there's not going to be noise and chaos.
Yeah.
And we can do that by going for a walk and taking our headphones out, or we can do that by, you know, sitting in our room and you know, reading some scripture, or we can do that, you know, in a bunch of different ways. But the point is like, we need to be intentional about it or it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. No, that's good. What would you encourage someone who's listening right now and would just say, like, this sounds amazing, but I've just got too much. Like, there's just too much on my between job and work and school, and like, there's just too much for me to stop. I can't do it.
Yeah, I guess the first thing I would say is, like, Sabbath is a gift, and it's an opportunity to enjoy something that God's given you. So you can do with that what you want. It's like, you know, you got a really nice present for Christmas this year, and you can return it if you want and just take the cash, or, you know, trade it up for something else.
Yep.
But I think if we think about Sabbath as a gift, that's where I would start. And then the second thing I would say is just, you know, try to start where you're at. Maybe you can't do a full 24-hour period. Like, that just seems insane to you. But maybe you can take, like, 25% of that, 6 hours in a day, and just say, hey, for these next 6 hours, I'm just going to shut my phone off and I'm just going to do something that, like, brings me joy and fills my soul back up. And so I would say start with that. And then also third, like, just give yourself some grace, because it takes a little while to develop a good practice or a good habit. Mm. So don't beat yourself up when when I was trying to sell my vehicle and waiting for this lady, like, I felt really down about it. But at the end of the day, like, I'm just learning how to follow Jesus. So I'm learning how to enter these rhythms. So yeah, give yourself some grace as you're learning, but I would really encourage you to give it a try. I think anybody that tries it will really learn to love it.
No, that's so good. Well, hey, Tristan, thanks so much for joining us. Do you have any kind of words of encouragement or wisdom? We've talked a lot about Sabbath, but as we head out, about what it looks like for us to follow Jesus through this season.
Yeah, I guess the one word of encouragement or wisdom I would say to people is in John chapter 15, Jesus talks about him being the vine and we're the branches, and apart from him we can't do anything. And Sabbath is just an opportunity to enter into the vine and just to take food and rest from him. And if we don't, if we try to do things on our own, well, the rest of the chapter goes on to say that, you know, anyone that's not remaining in me is like a useless branch, and that it withers, and then those branches are actually gathered into a pile to be burned. So we don't want to, you know, enter that that realm. So yeah, just spend your time abiding or making your home in Jesus, and find the joy and rest and peace that'll bring to your life.
Yeah, so good. Tristan, I appreciate you. I cannot wait to be able to come up to Kwanos and visit you, go hang out by the ocean and connect again sometime soon. But thanks so much for joining us this week.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that too, Dan. And thanks for having me this morning. And yeah, bless you and your ministry there at Ridge Baptist.
All right. Thanks for joining us.